2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's read them together. 6, 7, and 8. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. That's the first statement there, sentence. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Now in this eighth verse, I want to talk to you about man's sad plight. It says here that in this eighth verse, it says that he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill and to set him among princes. Now, he's described here, man outside of the Lord Jesus. He's described here by his character and by his position. His character is that he's a beggar. Now, his position is that he's on a dunghill. That's what I want to talk to you about, those two thoughts right there. His character and his position. His character is that he's a beggar. Now, fallen man, whether he knows it or not, is a spiritual beggar. Now, in order to find out what a fallen man really is, we got to find out what a beggar is. If we find out, ever come to know exactly what a beggar is, we'll find out what we are. Because every man, now, it's the truth. I know that it's humiliating, but yet it'll do us good if we find out who we are. Man by nature is a beggar. What is a beggar? Well, a beggar, you've seen beggars on the streets. Don't see them near as much now as you used to see them, but back when I was younger, I remember a young man, it wasn't unusual for beggars to come to your door, knock on your door, and want something deep to them. Want a dime or 15 cents. So beggars on the street begging for money, begging for help. Well, I said, a natural man is a spiritual beggar. Now, if you take a beggar and empty his pockets, you won't find a penny in his pockets. You take the old clothes off his back, and to find out the value of these tattered rags that's on his back, if you go down to the Union Rescue Mission or some other store that deals in old clothes, you'll find that beggar's old clothes. Now, the clothes that you've emptied out his pockets to find out that there's not a penny there, then you've taken his old clothes off, or he's taken them off and laid them down there. You've put them in a sack, and you've taken them down to have them the value, the worth of them, estimated by someone that knows. You'll find out that his clothes is not worth a single solitary penny. They're nothing but rags. Now, we're talking about a beggar. We're trying to find out what a beggar is. Now, a beggar doesn't have a foot of land that he can call his own. Doesn't have any. If he did, he wouldn't be a beggar. He doesn't have a single solitary foot of land that he can call his own. And the six foot of land that's needful and necessary for his burial will probably have to be given to him by the county or by the state, and they'll grudgingly do so. So, he hadn't got anything. You look at his old hat, got a hole in his hat, there's no crown in his hat anymore. You look at his old shoes there, and you can see his feet through his shoes. There's an old proverb that goes something like this, that says that a beggar can never be bankrupt. That is, I guess they mean that because he hadn't got anything, he can't be bankrupt. But if we would say that he was never anything else but bankrupt, we'd be closer to the truth, because a beggar is bankrupt. A beggar doesn't have anything of any value. That's what a beggar is. And the scriptures say here that our spiritual condition outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we are beggars. And I can, as I think about this and look at this, I can see an accurate portrait or a picture of myself, what I was by nature. What I was by nature. I was by nature a beggar. I was by nature a spiritual beggar, absolutely penniless. And if you'll turn any man's natural man, that is, if you'll turn him inside out like you would turn a beggar's clothes inside out, you couldn't find a nickel's worth of merit in any of us. You put us all together, every spiritual beggar that was ever born into the, as a member of the family of the human race, and put them all together, you wouldn't find 5 cents worth of merit in the whole kit and caboodle of us. You see, the very rags which we profess to cover ourselves are so filthy that we'd be better off without them. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that our righteousness, or the best efforts that's ever been produced by this natural heart or this spiritual beggar's nature, is as filthy rags. The best thing that we ever done. Not just the ordinary things that we do, but when we are at our very best, the best thing that we've ever done is as filthy rags. Now, you can search into a man's thoughts and his words and his deeds, and you can look very good, and you can take this man and his words and his thoughts and his deeds and turn them over and over and over and over again and again and again. And if you judge according to truth and according to the Word of God, you're going to have to say it's vanity of vanities, and all is vanity in this individual. He's a spiritual beggar. Let me say this about the beggar. Never was a beggar so short of money as a sinner is short of merit. Well, I ask you this evening, have you ever felt yourself to be so? Have you ever felt yourself to be a spiritual beggar? Have you ever realized your spiritual poverty? Never in this world or in the world to come will a man become rich in faith until he has learned first that he's penniless, so far as merit is concerned. You must be emptied. I mean, a man must be emptied. His pockets must be turned inside out, and he must see and know that he's penniless. He must feel the awful lowness and guilt of being a poverty-stricken, bankrupt individual as far as righteousness, goodness, or merit is concerned. He must feel that. He must be absolutely emptied and drained dry. Drain the last drop out of the bucket and drain dry. He must be made to feel and to confess, as we mentioned to you this morning, made to feel and to confess that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. Spiritual beggar. He's a beggar. He hadn't got anything. You know what a beggar is? Find out what a beggar is. You'll find out what you are as far as eternal merit and worth and value is in light of the presence of Almighty God. Alright? A beggar is not only one that's broke. Have you ever heard this song? I've heard it several times. I kind of like it. It says, I'm busted. Have you ever heard that? It said, I'm busted. went to my brother for help. He said, no help. He said, I'm busted too. He said, they're going to take the refrigerator. And he said to wife and children, but he said, I'm busted. He's broke. He hadn't got a penny. He's busted. He's penniless. A beggar is not only busted, he's not only broke and penniless, he's also tradeless. I'll tell you what I mean by that. The only thing that he can do is beg. He hadn't got any trade. He never learned to trade. If he did, he wouldn't be a beggar. He's a beggar. He hadn't got any trade. He can't do anything but beg. That's all he can do. He's a professional beggar. He knows all the ins and outs of begging. You see, there's a lot of people that'd be willing to give a beggar a day's work, but there's nothing he can do. You can't give him any tools to work with, because if you do, he'll probably cut his leg or cut his fingers off. He knows nothing. A beggar knows nothing, is good for nothing. He's shiftless and useless. And most other men are eager to get rid of him and to get him out of their sight. They don't want anything to do with this busted, broke, penniless, hopeless, helpless, no good, shiftless beggar. They don't have anything to do with him. They shun him as if he had a plague. Ah, such is every son of Adam. Every son of Adam. Not only has every son of Adam no merit whatsoever, but it's impossible for him to earn any. There is as much hope as a beggar getting rich as there is a spiritual beggar obtaining eternal life on the basis of his good work. Does not the Scripture say, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight? In other words, he says that if a man who's a spiritual beggar is ever brought out of his spiritual poverty, it'll be by the grace of God. His case is so bad. His case is so bad that nobody, and I mean nobody, can help him or wants to help him except God Himself. Though there are exceptions to the rule, in this man's case, I said this morning, that cited the Scripture to you, that there was no exception to that rule. There's an exception to this rule, generally speaking, see? But generally speaking, a man that is a beggar is generally one with a wicked character. And the less said about his character, the better off he is. You see, by nature, now, spiritual beggars, by nature, we think that we're rich. We think we're rich. We think we're increased with goods and have need of nothing while all the time, when we think we're rich, when we think we're increased with goods, when we think we have need of nothing, we're poor and wretched and naked and blind. Only grace can make poor beggars like us see ourselves, that we're poor and we're needy. And the next thing about a beggar is he's one that's usually a man without any friends. He's kind of what they refer to nowadays as a man who stays by himself. He's a what they call a loner. He doesn't have any friends. You remember you used to see around in various towns and on the sides of buildings, no vagrants. All vagrants will be prosecuted. That means beggars. No begging allowed in this town. All beggars will be prosecuted. No one likes to take in a beggar. He hadn't got any friends. Who wants to take in a beggar in their house? He's too filthy. He's dirty. You won't let him in your house. You hardly want to let a beggar in your barn. A beggar has no friends except those that are beggars just like him, fellow travelers who share his poverty and are generally just as wicked and vile and destitute and hopeless and helpless as he is. The natural man is like that. He has no friends to help him. Nobody can help him. Nobody wants to help him. The poverty of sinners is too great for you and I to cure. We can't cure. I can't cure the poverty of a sinner. Nothing I can do about it. I can tell him and preach to him, but unless God reaches down and lifts him up, he'll still be where he is. He'll still be a beggar when he dies. That is a spiritual beggar. I'm telling you, so hopeless as far as I'm concerned, and I'm so hopeless. I'm so hopeless apart from the grace of God that I might as well try to make an attempt to fill a sack that's full of holes, or to fill to the brim a bucket with no bottom in it, as to seek by anything that I can do to bring a sinner nearer to God. I just can't do it. No, sir. The sinner, apart from God, has not one friend who can help him. And you have no merit with which to help yourself, and no power to win any merit, and no friend to give any to you. He hadn't got any himself, and no, you haven't got any character that would be of any value by way of recommendation unto God. Yet you're a beggar. A man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual beggar. Can you see that? You're a beggar, and a beggar for sure if you're outside of the Lord Jesus. Well, you see, in spite of all this, now it's not the worst yet. The worst is yet to come about the beggar. There's nobody that I know of who particularly cares for the beggar's acquaintance. They don't want his companionship. They don't even want to know him, much less take him in his house. That is, a beggar's company is not one that's generally sought after by others. Did you ever seek after the company of a beggar and say, I'd like to be a friend of that beggar? I'd like to go down on the street and sit on the curb with that beggar. I'd like to go there and sit there and help him hold up pencils. I'd like to help him. No, you don't seek after the acquaintance and company of a beggar. There's not many people who'll make a supper for a beggar. Not many, if any. If you make a supper for him, I'll tell you what you'll do in most cases. You'll set it out on the porch and tell him to eat it out there. See, now a man might give a beggar some bread, might give him a slice of bread and a place to sleep out on the porch or in a tent or in the smokehouse or out in the barn, but they put this beggar off by himself. There's not a person that I know of wants to have a beggar in his home. You want to have a beggar in your home? A filthy, hopeless, helpless, shiftless, good-for-nothing beggar who's dirty, who's tattered and torn and rough, who stinks? I come in contact with a fellow the other day, and he is by no means a beggar. No means a beggar. He gets a little money. But he approached me, got real close to me. And I couldn't, it was hard for me to stand the smell of that fellow. I wasn't talking about his breath, I was talking about his body, I was talking about his clothes. He stunk. He was dirty. He had a used to be a white undershirt that he had on, but it was black. It was black. And he just came out, and I don't know what the house looked like that he was in, but he smelled to high heaven. Now, would you want a beggar? Oh, shiftless, no account, dirty, loathsome beggar to come in your house and to set in on your furniture and finally say, would excuse me, I want to use your bathroom? Huh? Oh, no. No. We're Christians and all that. Well, we don't want no beggar to use our bathroom. Do we? You want a beggar to go in there and wipe his hand, wash his hand? He wouldn't wash his hand. He might wipe his hands on one of those guest towels, but he wouldn't wash it. No, sir. You wouldn't want that beggar to go in your bathroom or in your kitchen or sleep in your bed, because that beggar might have some loathsome disease You'd want to protect yourself from that loathsome disease of that beggar, from you and your children, and as much as you'd want to help him in your heart. You'd say, I can't do it. I can't. I got to think of my own family here. I can't let him go in there. I can't let him use the bathroom. Can't do it. I'm telling you about a beggar. Well, I wouldn't give much for a man's conviction of sin. If a man's conviction of sin does not produce in his heart a very loathsome idea of himself. The truth of the matter is, if God ever saves me and He ever saves you, in the process of conviction of our sin, He'll make us to see what we are. And when we see what we are, we'll not be in love with what we are, because we find out that we're as loathsome and low as a toad. We're like beggars in the sight of the matchless purity and beauty and glory and holiness of the God of glory. No, sir. You ever feel this way? You ever feel loathsome like that in God's sight? You ever feel like it when you come to church? You just kind of like to come in the window somewhere, crawl in the window, and knock a hole in the floor, and kind of lay down under the seats. Just lay down under the seats and hope nobody'd notice you. Just hope nobody'd say a word to you. Wouldn't even see you there. You could listen to what the preacher had to say, and then you could crawl back down in your hole. Just kind of slide back down in your hole and hope that no one's seen you. Slide back outside. Slide back into your cave. Loathsome, loathsome. I'm telling you, a true conviction of sin will produce a loathsome idea of ourselves. It'll make us see what we are. Oh, you ever, kind of like a dog that kind of gets his nose up to the door, and the door's not latched, and he just kind of pushes on the door until he cracks the door, and he gets his nose in, and the first thing you know, here it comes with his tail between his legs. Here it comes, an old loathsome stinking hound that's never been in the house before. Always stayed out there tied up to the corn crib or in the barn or running loose. Here it comes, this old foul-smelling, stinky, slimy hound with his tail between his legs, and he slips in there and just kind of slips in under the dining room table looking for a crumb that might fall from the table. You ever feel like that? Beggars, beggars. To complete the picture. A beggar is one whose entire dependence is upon charity. Charity. Don't give to that beggar, he's going to die. That's all he are to. Somebody don't help the beggar. He can't help himself. Bob, and he won't help himself. He is good for nothing. He knows nothing. And the only thing he can do is beg. That's the only thing he can do. And he's a victim of charity, and if charity doesn't help him, or I mean if society doesn't help him through charitableness to him, he's a gone Jesse. Huh? A beggar is one whose entire dependence is upon charity. He knows he can't claim anything from you as he holds out his hand. That is, when he puts you out his hand as you come by, he knows when he does so that you don't owe him anything. He knows that. That beggar knows. You go over there in front of the courthouse, and there's a beggar over there with a wooden leg. And he's got some pencils there, and he's had them for about 20 years. He never passed out one of them yet that I know of. And I'm not jumping on that poor fellow. I'm just telling you his sad plight. That's our sad plight. And you go by there, Brad, and he'll hold his hand out like that, and he has some pencils in this other hand. He ain't about to give you one, but he makes you think. Maybe if you'd grease the palm a little bit, if you lay something in there, he might give you one of them pencils. But he knows. He knows when he holds his hand out that he has no claim on you. He knows that. He knows that you're not obligated to him. He knows that, see. He's completely, entirely dependent upon charity. He knows he can't claim anything from you as he holds out his hand to you. And he knows if you give anything, it's an act of grace or charity on his part. It wasn't owed to him. That's what a beggar is. You a beggar, a spiritual beggar? I believe I see myself here. I'm a spiritual beggar. I understand that God didn't owe me anything when I held my hand out. I understand that. I had no claim on God. I was a spiritual beggar. And I held my hand out to God for mercy. And He didn't have to give it to me. He didn't have to. He could have said no. He could have said, I'm finished with you. I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I've given you all kinds of advantages in this life. I don't owe you nothing. You see yourself that way? God ever saves any of us, I'll tell you, it'll be by the grace of God. It won't be because He owed it to you. And He won't give it to you because He pays it to you. He'll give it to you because He wills to do it. And for no other reason. Well, such beggars we are. And if we're ever become reconciled unto God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be an act of charity. If you'll come, I believe, if there's anyone here tonight, and this has affected you, and you realize that you're a beggar, if you'll come to God, if you'll come to God in your true character, don't come out of your true character, come in your true character as destitute, hopeless, helpless, shiftless, good for nothing. You're just a beggar. You're loathsome in the sight of God. You're no different than I am. That's the way I come. You'll have to come the same way. There's no other way to come. Jesus said a man can't come any other way unless he comes in his true character. Unless he comes as he is. Just as I am. Without one plea. Just as I am. Nothing in my hand I bring. I come as a beggar. I come in my true character. Lord, I have nothing. I have no pride. I have not one single solitary virtue in my hand to offer, to bargain, to recommend. I've got no goodness. Nothing. I'm helpless. Surely there's something good about nothing. Nothing. Take a fine-tooth comb and go all over me. There's nothing. Now, absolutely not a penny's worth of goodness or merit to commend me or recommend me to God. Come in your true character. And I believe if a man will come, a man, woman, or boy or girl, if they'll come to God in their true character as a beggar, sincerely desiring to be lifted up and to be clothed, God will do something for them. God never turned... I believe I can say this, that God never turned a beggar down who come to Him as a beggar. No, sir. Never. Never did. Oh, listen, I've described the character of a spiritual beggar. But there's some more here. It gets a little bit worse than this. I talked about the spiritual beggar's condition here. Now let's talk just a minute or so about the beggar's position according to the verse of Scripture that I read to you. According to the text, it says, "And lifteth up the beggar from where?" This is his position. This is where he's at. We know what his character is. He's a beggar. He's penniless. He's hopeless. He can't do anything but beg. That's all he is. That's all he ever will be. But it says, "And lifteth up the beggar from where is that?" Where is he at? He's on the dunghill. From the dunghill. He's on the dunghill. Listen, that's the only throne that the beggar has by nature. Why is the spiritual beggar said to be on a dunghill? All right, let me tell you why it's said that he's on a dunghill by first telling you what a dunghill is. This is what a dunghill is. A dunghill is that's not a very pretty hill. In fact, that's about as this is about as worse a place as a man can possibly be on a dunghill. A dunghill is a pile of horse, cow, or camel offal heaped up to dry in the sun. It's a pile of cow, horse, or camel manure heaped up. Did you ever, all of us here, most all of us, we grew up in the rural area. We know what it is to clean the barn out and to throw it out the window in the pile. We know what it is. And we know how the flies and the worms and the maggots and everything collect on that pile of dung. We know it. It's filthy. They like to talk about it. But the scriptures say that the beggar's character... Well, I thought there's something good about me. Well, there's not. Just that's right. There ain't nothing good about me. If I ever get to glory, if I ever get to God, I'll have to see myself as a beggar and where I'm coming from. On a dunghill. Oh, listen to me. It says here, though, he doesn't leave him on the dunghill. Look at if you're a beggar, spiritual beggar, and God has raised you up. He's lifted you up. He's raised the poor up out of the dust and the beggar from the dunghill. The text tells us what is done for the beggar upon the dunghill. All right, listen. It says, he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them, that is, to set them beggars that was on the dunghill among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. These beggars. Who? Beggars. That's who God saves, beggars. He saves spiritual beggars. Don't save anybody else. If you're hoping in anything else this evening, if I'm hoping in anything that I've done, can do, or will do, in myself as a means of my acceptance with God, I'm lost. I'm lost. I missed it 10,000 miles. Because God only saves beggars. He only saves hopeless, helpless, poor people that can't do anything for themselves. Hopeless. You say, well, surely if I brought the best I had, God wouldn't accept it. Only add to your condemnation. Accept your lot. If you're ever going to be saved, accept who you are, a beggar. Accept where you are on a dunghill. That's where you're at. Oh my. What did he do for these people, these beggars that was on the dunghill? Well, he clothed them as princes are clothed. Now you can get that out of that verse. A robe of righteousness. Now this is to a spiritual beggar. A robe of immaculate, white, pure, spotless linen robe is put around the naked body of that beggar. And now that beggar, who was worth nothing, who in himself was loathsome to other people, now he has been raised from this awful dunghill, and he has been clothed with clothing that princes wear. You see that? He wears the clothes that princes in the fine castles and courts of royalty wear. He wears what? He wears the immaculate robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God robes that poor beggar's body with the robe of righteousness. And now he wears what princes wear. Boy, that's good, isn't it? He wears what princes wear. Listen, he lives as well as they do too. Huh? He gets manna from heaven. He gets water from the rock. God supplies his needs. He feeds upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God supplies his needs. He has an appetite for spiritual things. And God feeds you. God feeds you. God will feed you. God will feed you. If you belong to Him, you're a beggar if He has to take a raven to do it. You remember that raven? There's old Elijah out there, and God told him, said there's a famine here in the land, and he said, wickedness. No, it said, get out there, and I'll tell you where to go. There's a cave out there on the side of that hill, and said, go out there and hide in that cave. Hide in that cave. Stay out there in that brush. Stayed out there for about a year in the brush, in the cave. And God took a raven, and went against the bend of the will of that raven. And he told that raven, he said, I want you to take him some bread and some meat every morning and every evening. And that raven, God supplied him, supplied old Elijah's fare and bounty. And that old raven swooped right down. He'd been used to eating. That's all he ever ate was dead stuff. That's all a raven will eat. Dead possums along the road. And God went against the very will of this raven. And he said, I want you to fly down there. I want you to get some bread and some meat. I want you to pick it up in your old long bill. And I want you to fly right over there. And I want you to give it to my man down there. So he'll be waiting for you. And every morning for about a year, that raven came over. That unclean raven fed that clean man, that great prophet, every morning, every evening, every morning, every evening. The unclean feeding the clean. God, what I'm saying is, not only will we fare well as far as clothing is concerned, we'll fare well as far as food is concerned, because God will see to it that we feed upon the gospel. We'll feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. This fella is guarded. This beggar that's on the dunghill, not only is he clothed as princes are clothed, but he's guarded as princes are guarded. You can't walk into it. You can't walk into where the prince, you try to get into where Princess Diane is. You can't do it unless you're a thief like that one fella was that slipped in through the window there, and the guards, the security guards, were they kind of lax, but that's an exception to the rule to go into where princes are. You couldn't do it. You go to Buckingham Palace and see if you can get in where the princes are. See if you can go past the guard. You can't do it. Why? Because you got guards there protecting the princes. Well, we not only clothed and fed as princes are, we're guarded and kept as princes are guarded and kept by God. Oh, there's nothing that can separate that spiritual beggar who's been raised from the dust and from the dunghill and set there among princes. There's nothing can separate them beggars from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing. They can't be separated from the love of God, because the Spirit of God's on guard. He's there. Oh, listen. He's not only guarded like princes are guarded by the strong right arm of God. That's his perpetual, continual defense. But he's housed as a prince is housed. That is, he dwells in the same type of a place that princes dwell in. Where does the spiritual beggar that's been raised to sit among princes dwell? Well, the scriptures say he dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. He sits at the seat of the royalty of heaven. Why? He is a member of the family of God. He is a member of the household of God. As a matter of fact, this beggar is like Mephibosheth, who was crippled at his feet, who was sent for and fetched and set at the king's table forever. He's as rich as princes are rich. How rich is a prince? I don't know my value. Well, if you're a spiritual beggar that's been raised up from the dunghill to set among princes, you don't know your value. Why? Because you're an heir of God. You're an heir of God. an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Brother, you're rich. Though you haven't got a penny, you're rich. You're rich. He who was rich became poor for your sakes, that you through him might be rich. Rich, rich, rich. Oh, my soul. Well, who does all this? Huh? He does it. That's what it says. It says, the Lord killeth. The Lord maketh alive. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich. Verse number 8 says, continues right on with, he raiseth up the poor. Who does all this? Huh? Does he do it by proxy? Does he do it by the church? Does he do it by a priest? Does he do it by a preacher? Does he do it by a prophet? No, sir. The Lord God of heaven and earth, he does it himself. He does it. He comes down and finds them. He found me. If he found me, if he found me, a beggar on the dunghill, there's hope for you. There's hope for you if he found me. You see, it says he does it. He raised him up. He healeth the brokenhearted. He bindeth up their wounds. He bendeth over in tender mercy and bindeth up their wounds with the skill that no earthly surgeon has, or with success that no earthly surgeon has. He does it. He does it. No one else can do it. Only the Lord of glory, the Lord of love. Oh, that God Almighty of heaven and earth, who loves poor, poor beggars. He loves beggars. Can you see that? He loves beggars. They said about John the Baptist, they said, was talking to our Lord, and he said, who do you come out to see? Huh? A man dressed in fine clothing. He said, in fine linen, and he said, they're fit subjects for palaces. But he said, this fella, he's kind of a beggar looking fella. He hadn't got anything. Got any place to live. Oh, the Lord of love loves the sinner. He hears the sinner. He embraces the sinner. I might say that he loves a beggar. He hears a beggar. He embraces a beggar. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. Why? Why will he do that? Well, he does it because he loves that beggar. He does it because he wills to do it. He does it for his glory. Because he gets glory out of it. He gets glory out of the salvation of poor, helpless, hopeless, spiritual beggars. He gets the glory. He'll not share his glory with others. You see what I'm talking about? It's all of God. Well, I hope that somehow you and I have been able to find out what a beggar is. Find out what a beggar is, then you find out what you are. And you find out where a beggar sits, you'll find out where you sit. And if God has raised you up, it'll be by the grace of God. It won't be because of worth and value of a poor beggar. Let's stand.